Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Networks. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Walk Your Talk with Leanne here on Life Coach Radio Network. I am so incredibly blessed that you have chosen to spend an hour here with us live on Life Coach Radio Network. You know, I consider it just a real joy and honor to come to you two times every month on my own program and share with you some of the hot topics that are happening in our world today. And for those of you who have been following me for a long time, now I've been on live for 2 years, you know that I'm really passionate about seeking out others who are walking their talk in this life and really making a difference and making an impact in this world. And I am joined by one such amazing individual this afternoon who I'm super excited to introduce you to. But before I bring my guest on, Christopher Wilson, I just wanted to offer up a phone number. If you have a desire to call in and ask either Chris or myself, Leanne, any questions regarding this topic, I just want to encourage you to call in to 646-716-9397, and I can bring you right into our studio. So I am joined by Christopher Wilson. Holy cow, this is an amazing young man that I am so honored to introduce you to today. He is the director and producer of the documentary feature, You Have His Eyes. So this is a documentary of Chris's personal journey, and it has now become the most highly accoladed film dealing with the subject of adoption on the market today. So he's been in all kinds of film festivals, and we're going to talk about that today, and super excited. I actually had an opportunity to meet Chris, and we're going to chat about that as well. And so without any further ado, welcome, Christopher, to Walk Your Talk with Leanne here on Life Coach Radio Network.
Leanne, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for the offer. I'm just very honored that you invited me to be a guest.
Well, I'm very honored that you have shared your film when I was in Boston this past year for the American Adoption Congress's International Convention. And that is where I had the privilege of meeting you and viewing this amazing film, and then in turn having conversation with you. And so what a great experience. I'm real curious, I forget, was that your first AAC conference in Boston?
Yeah, it was actually. In fact, that was the first time our film has screened to an adoption center community. We have been screening all over to just kind of audiences that were all walks of life. But this was our first time making a presence at a convention that was focused on the subject of adoption. So it was really an amazing experience all the way through, just meeting people and engaging with people that were, you know, adopted and been touched by adoption in some capacity. And everyone at the AAC, as you know, is incredible, wonderful spirits, so loving and welcoming. So I was very blessed to be able to be a part of that.
Fantastic. Well, I'm just real curious. Share with us, how did you get there?
You know, actually, Cynthia, who's in charge at the AAC, or one of the people that are in charge, she came to a screening of our film. I'm trying to remember the event. It was, I think, the Roxbury International Film Festival, which is at the Boston Museum. She came to the screening. I think she had a couple other people in attendance, and she watched the film and just came up to me and said, you know, I've been doing this for, you know, 15, 20 years, and I haven't really seen a film of this quality. She said, I really would love to bring you to the AAC. I'd love you to get involved. I just, you know, you're a wonderful person. It was a great film. So we hit it off right away, and we just kept in touch, and she invited us to the screen, and I just jumped at the chance.
Well, way to take advantage of that opportunity, and kudos to Cynthia for bringing you in, because I know the feedback and the buzz after the showing of your film was just all about it. And everybody was super excited to know more about you. What I think is great about you and your message, Chris, is your age and your passion, your skill, and your desire to really impact the culture. That doesn't happen oftentimes for young men. And so kudos to you as well for stepping into it and really embracing the whole opportunity there to make a difference.
You know, I thank you. I really, you know, I know you know this too. It's just something that I can't take credit for. It's just God. I'm just grateful that He's using me as a part of His plan. And, you know, all my works go to Him, and it's just kind of in His control to put them in the right place. And the AAC was just one of those places that He led me to.
Fantastic. You know, I love that. One of my favorite authors, Chris, is Max Lucado. And in a book that I'm currently reading right now, it's called It's Not About Me. And one of the quotes that he shares that I just want to piggyback off of what you just so graciously spoke into was that reducing the human job description down to one phrase is powerful. This is it, reflecting God's glory. And, you know, that's part of what this film is. It's part of why we come together here on Walkie Talk with Leanne. You know, I don't always interview people who share the same faith beliefs that I do, because I just think there are people walking their talk no matter what they're doing. I just admire the integrity in stepping out. And, you know, it's really interesting. So many things you and I have in common. And I was noticing all of that since I did meet you in Boston. I've been kind of poking around and learning more about you. And gosh, it's so neat that we're both adoptees. So I'm going to go ahead and share that. We both were born and we both were relinquished and we both have been adopted. And that's kind of unique. And so another neat fact that you and I have in common, Chris, is that we both found our biological mothers at the age of 25. How about that?
That's quite a parallel. Look at that. I didn't know that about you.
Yeah. So I'm double that age now. So I have actually known my natural mom for 25 years now. We've been in relationship. So I consider it a real privilege. And so there's something else that's kind of fun. So we have a faith-based share. The other neat thing, I'm going to let you talk. So tell me, when did you enter into your forever family, your adoptive family? How old were you?
I was adopted at 3 months. It was very early. I have three older sisters that are, I think they're going to be upset that I'm giving away their ages, but are close to 50 in their late 40s. And then I have an older brother who was adopted from another family, and he's 33. And then I came in as a baby, as an infant, 3 months old, and now 28 years old.
All right. Well, fantastic. Well, I, too, was adopted at 3 months of age.
Gosh, wow,
cool?
Look at that.
I know. I just love how the Lord just brings us together. And here we're two different generations. My goodness, I have kids that are just a little bit younger than you. So it's really neat that the Lord saw to it to have us connect and meet and to be able to share our stories. So, Chris, I would love it if you could share and talk into, you've created this amazing film. There's been a lot of buzz around it, but we want to go back to the beginning a little bit. And I would really appreciate it if you would share, how has adoption impacted your life from the view of a 28-year-old man?
That's loaded. I, obviously I've always known that I was adopted. But I never saw myself or categorized myself as it. I was blessed. God gave me the parents that He intended to give me from the beginning. and so they're my mom and dad. It was never that, oh, he was adopted, and that we have three children, and this is our adopted son. It was never like that. It was just family. So I never really delved into adoption communities or having this wrestling of, well, I'm adopted, so there's something that I might be a little lost in some way. I was never engaged in that kind of rhetoric in my life. And so it hadn't really affected me. There was a little bit of a curiosity from friends sometimes that would say, well, you know, your whole family's white, and I'm, you know, biracial. How did that happen? And I simply say, well, I was adopted. And then that would kind of be the end of the discussion for me on my part with that. They wouldn't really ask me too much more. I was just always accepted for who I was in my life. So I never really wrestled with that. But I will say, for me, was something that was, in a way, kind of a stepping stone to understanding and knowing God, because He's raising me. He raises all His children. He's our Father, our ultimate Father in heaven, and He provides people on earth to do His work and His will in our lives. And that's kind of how I see things ever since I've got to know Him. So adoption obviously plays a role in my life, but it wasn't something that defines me in any way, shape, or form.
I love that. And, you know, I was reading about an interview that you did a while back, and you talked about a family tree exercise that you did when you were growing up. You want to speak to that real quick, and then we're going to jump in and chat about more about your film.
Yeah, I'll never forget this, actually. I was in elementary school at the time, and I had a really wonderful teacher, Ms. Faberman. And she just had always taken a liking to me. It was really sweet. And one day she, you know, called my mom and said, listen, I didn't know this at the time, obviously. She said, listen, you know, we have a class assignment, and it's about doing your family tree. Now, I understand that Chris was adopted, and, you know, if this is something that makes him uncomfortable or makes you guys uncomfortable, we don't have to do the assignment. We can forego it this year. Your kid is a good student in the class, and I just don't want to cause any issues. Well, my mom was very gracious. She said, oh, let him do the assignment. There's no issue. No need to change, you know, your course for anybody. You know, just let him do the assignment. So when she presented the assignment, I came home and said, Mom, you know, what's my family tree? And I'll never forget being there and just she was making the tree out for me and showing the lineage of our family. I never thought, oh, well, this isn't my family. I'm not their blood. I didn't feel that disconnect. I just said, oh, this is my family. This is the part of that lineage. And it spoke to me now that I'm older and I know God. And it's something deeper, as He was saying, we are all connected. We're all connected. And so, of course, you're going to feel a connection to everybody when you have that connection with God. And so that was kind of, that assignment was a little nugget to this realization that occurred later in my life.
Wow, isn't that beautiful? And, you know, there's another little similarity that you and I have. A little bit is my story in that I was in high school, and I remember going to the doctor and having a conversation with the doctor and being asked about my family history. And I'm just spewing off all this information about my adoptive family's medical history, right? We had different cancers in the family and some heart issues and different things. And so I was just talking about all of that. And then at the end of the conversation, I said, it probably isn't as big of a deal in my blood because I'm adopted, but it's still there.
Yeah.
and the doctor kind of looked at me and giggled, but that was my innocence, right? That was my connection. I didn't fully understand what that really meant. And, you know, I was even an early teen at this point. So I have that kind of a similar experience with that connected feeling.
Yeah. And that's, you know, it's, as you know, in all communities, I hate to speak for everybody, but sometimes there's a lot of pain within the adoption community. And I think part of that blessing of being adopted is that void that a person may have, God is waiting to fill it up for you. And that's what he says. He takes care of the orphan and the homeless. And so we're in that position where we can turn to him and he can fill us up, as opposed to having a need for somebody to fill us up. He does it. He's waiting to do it in each and every one of our lives. And it's nothing of my own accord, but I'm just grateful that he did that for me in this life.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that and just allowing us to have that little bit of conversation here at the front set of the show and just really introduce people to that concept. Because for some, it's painful to even think about a God that would love, that would cause, right? We've all heard that. And then we can hear the other side of that very loving Father who is guiding, directing, and raising us every day. So thanks for stepping into that with me today. All right. Well, we are also here to talk about your amazing film, You Have His Eyes. And so, Chris, I would love to know, here you're this amazing young man that grew up in a full family with a lot of unconditional love and acceptance. I'm really curious, what filmmaking experience did you have prior to creating this film?
Zero. And I say that very confidently. There was none. I had never stepped behind the camera. There was a little bit of experience that I got. I went to a private college in Hawaii, the Hawaii Pacific University, and I was actually taking broadcast journalism at the time, and I was heavy into writing, and I just loved film. I just felt it was in me that I could make a film, see it to fruition, and potentially be good at it. Something good would come out of it. But I didn't study film. But what I ended up doing, because I was always a person who kind of pursued the interests that I wanted to do at the time, regardless of circumstances, my friends were all in film class, and they were doing film projects. So I would start helping them with theirs. And a lot of the times they wanted me to act, do acting. So I was in front of the camera. But I kind of paid attention to what was going on when they were, you know, on set or learning something with the camera. And so I picked up a few things here and there. And I love film, so I studied film by just reading things that entertained me and watching filmmakers and listening to interviews of Tim Burton and Wes Anderson and Paul Thomas Anderson, all these great directors. It was something that kind of I learned on my own, but there was no formal education or training. And what's interesting is when we started this project, I somehow came in contact with the professor of FIU. He's the head of the film department at the school. And me and my editor would just start going into his office and start asking him questions. And it took him a while to realize that we weren't even students. We were just walking into to his office and talking to him. And so he ended up taking a liking to us. And, you know, if we kind of got a bump in the road or had a question, we kind of referred to him and asked him, are we going in the right direction? He always just kind of reassured us. He didn't really give us a critique or too much advice. He just kind of said, you're on the right path. And anyways, at the end of making the film, we showed it to him and we started getting into all these film festivals and the other, and I was just telling him what was happening. And he sat me down and goes, you know, Chris, it's very interesting. I'll be honest with you. I've been doing this for 35 years. He said, I know five filmmakers whose names are everywhere. They're all over the place. He said, all five of them dropped out of film school. He said the ones that stayed in the system got burnt out by the system. He said the ones that did exactly what you did just went for it. They were the ones that, in my experience, became successful. So it was very encouraging that we had that guidance to just kind of say, listen, I want to do this, and we'll figure it out along the way. God will provide every single resource and tool that we need. Just go for it. And that's exactly what we did.
Wow, and go for it, you really did. That's pretty amazing.
And so outside of this amazing guy who kind of took you guys under his wing and guided you and kind of mentored you through that, who or what else inspired you to make this film?
We, a couple, right before we got into the project, I was I met a wonderful dear friend, another mentor, you could say, especially for business, and just a kind soul, and also an investor for me. And his name is Antonio. And we connected, and we started getting involved in this social entrepreneurship, which is called 7-1. 7-1 stands for live life 7 days a week, one day at a time. Just the pursuit of your goals, your dreams, your aspirations, the God-given desires in your heart. Sometimes it's the best way to do it is take it day by day. And that's just the message that we wanted to give. And so we got involved in this project, and just through kind of brainstorming, we were wondering what are the best ways to promote this lifestyle and this this way of life. And one of them was through film. So we had like a series of ideas and projects to create these short films for this concept. And little by little, we started to realize maybe we should just start, we should make a film. And so we just kind of started brainstorming, and we just had a litany of topics that seemed interesting to us. But it just kept coming back to adoption. And they were kind of saying, hey, you know, maybe there's something here with telling your adoption story and your personal story. And so we got, you know, the blessing from this investor to get us off the ground, getting started. And then the real supporter and main contributor to making this all happen was my father, Ron Wilson, who, my father who raised me, my adoptive father. He supported us 100%, invested in 95% of the project. And you know, when it comes to making a film, it can become very expensive. And he was the one who, and of course with my mother's constant just support of me doing this endeavor, they were the ones who really helped me get through the process. I couldn't have done it without them at all. My entire family, honestly, was there for me. So to say who really helped the biggest was my family. They were the biggest supporters and contributors from the beginning to the end.
Wow. That's amazing, and we don't often hear that, right? Because sometimes adoptive families, it's harder to speak about adoption and our feelings, especially now you're putting everybody in front of the camera, as well as a real intimate look at adoption and your own family's journey. And so how was that? How did you bring everybody on board?
And you know, making sure that, you know, I was doing something that God had asked me to do. And knowing that he did, I knew that the doors would open for it to come to fruition. And so with that mindset, it was just about saying, this is what I want to do, and are you willing to get on camera? And everybody was on board. And I wasn't going to overstep any boundaries that they might have had, but I just am really blessed because my mother and my father are just, would even set aside their own feelings in order to show me unconditional love and support whatever it is that I'm involved in. And you have no idea how grateful I am. I can't, it's still something I can't comprehend fully, but they always have done that throughout my life. So it's something that they were just open to whatever I needed. And then meeting my birth mother before we started filming and presenting her with this project and you know about her story, she was ready to go. She felt she needed to get it off her chest. And I'll be honest with you, that was the first thing we filmed, was her interview. And we didn't know how it was going to go. It was the first thing we shot when we began this project, this three-year journey. And we were saying, okay, well, we're going to interview her and see how it goes. And if it goes well, then we'll keep filming. And I had, you know, this list of all these questions that I was going to ask her. And basically what happened was we turned on the camera and she ended up talking for 3 hours without asking one single question. And she just let all this stuff off her chest. And it was this incredibly emotional, incredibly powerful testimony. And right after that, you know, sitting there watching the footage and listening to her, I was like, you know, I was realizing this is not just a film that we're making. This is something that could help people or touch people in a certain way. And so then there became a more valued, the film became much more than what I was anticipating. Just, I wanted to make something to entertain people. And after her interview and her testimony, I realized that this could be something that could also help people. And so the whole project took on a different life after that.
You know, that is so true. And I remember viewing your film and just, you know, laughing and crying and getting mad, all those emotions that when I can experience them, I feel like I've seen an amazing film. And, you know, your film does entertain, but it educates and it raises an awareness and shines a light into, you know, some corners that not many places have been. And not many filmmakers have had the courage and curiosity enough to explore this topic at the depth that you did. You know, when I describe your film to other people, Chris, I say that it is fierce, it's bold, it's real, and it's raw. It's real people with real issues, struggling with all kinds of choices and decisions that were either made for them or made by them. And, you know, just the journey through all of that, it's just incredible. And it's such a gift to the community. And kudos to your parents, all of them, who granted you the blessing to do this and to explore more of your core identity and more of your story, and then using that to impact and inspire so many of us in the adoption community and beyond. Because I, like you shared at the beginning of the radio program, you said that, you know, the AAC was the first adoption-centric group that you screened it to.
Yeah, we have been screening all over. And most of our audience had never been touched by adoption. And that's the thing about the film is, you know, we realized after we made it, this isn't just an adoption film. It's a film about family. There are so many issues that the film covers, from domestic abuse to drug abuse to spirituality to identity to things that every family goes through. And so this is just a film, and we're putting it in God's hands to lead it to whatever communities that could benefit from it. If the adoption community wants to reach out and embrace it, absolutely amazing. If drug abuse or any other community wants to reach out to embrace the film, we're open. It's just something that we made and we're releasing. And it's for whoever to attach what they feel they connect with when they do the film.
Absolutely. Fantastic. And, you know, that's just such a gift as well, just offering it up and mentioning each one of those key areas, whether it be abuse, addiction, family issues, relationships, abandonment, rejection, whatever it is, the film touches on all of those topics. And so I'm real curious, what was one surprise, Chris, that you got when you screened it to folks who haven't been impacted by adoption? What was one surprise that you got from feedback from them?
Well, you know, as you know, with the film, the way we set it up is, you know, we want people to enjoy the journey about searching for my biological father. And, you know, it's the mystery of whether you're going to find him or not, or if he's going to, all that plays out. But the reaction that surprised me the most was, and I'm so grateful for, was their reactions towards him, to remove the circumstances around him and seeing how wonderful the spirit and how impressive of a man that he is, despite worldly appearances of his situation. And so to be able to see the people that they were able to look past those things and to who he really is inside the spirit, that that really humbled me and just made me grateful, because we were making a movie where we wanted to tell everybody's story, unfiltered, but not in a negative light. We wanted people to see the good in everybody.
Yeah, and that totally came through, because I remember sitting in the audience watching the film and experiencing all of these emotions and wanting to reach through the screen and just, you know, hug everybody, right? And just, you know, have coffee with them and just walk with them in the woods and all of that. I just really had that experience where you really have the ability as a filmmaker to draw me right into your film. And so that doesn't surprise me that that was some of the reactions, right, that you got. How beautiful. And for a first-time filmmaker, that had to be a pretty incredible experience.
You know, it is. I'll be honest that, you know, being a first-time filmmaker, I was always excited to make the project and finish it. And then you don't realize that once you get into the room to screen it with everyone, all of a sudden now you're nervous. And it's not even an experience that you fully enjoy, because you're seeing your film in a way that nobody else is seeing it. You're critiquing it. You've been staring at it for hours and for months and over a year. And so you're viewing it from a totally different angle. And so I couldn't get myself out of that perspective until we started screening. And we were engaging with all these big audiences and even small audiences. And everyone now in the theater, they're crying and they're laughing. And then they're cheering at the end, and they love the film. And I'm like, so it was so humbling. I still can't get over it. So it was an amazing experience. I'm just grateful that God did that work, because I can't take credit for it. Trust me, I was there. it was him. Doing great work. So yeah, absolutely.
Beautiful. You know, I often say my business name, Chris's Legacy Now Lives. And as a Walk Your Talk coach, I encourage people all the time that they don't live or don't leave a legacy. We live it every day. And, you know, when the last word of the story of our life is written, it's going to be about who we were, how we loved, and how we lived. And that, you know, I had a friend of mine that kind of coined some of that with me and went on to say that we create our story every day. And you're doing that through this film, and you're allowing others the privilege and even the confidence to live their story every day and to live more on purpose and more intentionally. That's what this film really speaks to me as well, is how you invited everybody in to walk this road with you in a real intimate and personal way. And I just think that's such a beautiful, beautiful skill as a young man and a filmmaker. And so curious, so by making this film, so you said it's been 3 years, is that right?
Yes, 3 years, yeah.
Okay, great. So how has the film enlarged your view of your own personal adoption and family experience?
Well, I would say that it's been so easy to find everybody and meet and connect. And then the story becomes, well, I have my mom and my dad and my three sisters and my brother and my cousins and everybody that is my family, my adoptive family. Then I have my birth mother and her sisters and brothers and nieces and nephews and cousins and grandmother and everybody there now, the whole other family. Birth father and his cousins and relatives and stepsisters and stepbrother. And so now I have all of these connections. And then there's me and in my life. And so it's about finding a balance to be able to have communication with everybody and not lose yourself along that process. And that's something I know I would not have been able to do if it wasn't for God. I just trust him with every step of my life. And I trust him that he's put everybody in my life for a reason. And we'll connect at the perfect time when it's intended. And that's it. I give him everything. To lose yourself among so many voices. And it's great to bring everybody together, but it's not your responsibility to keep everyone connected. You give all that to God. That's not your ego to do those things. So it's been an incredible journey and an amazing dynamic to have such a huge family now, such a huge, a lot of connections, and just watching how they're meant to work in my life. I'm very grateful just to be a spectator in that process.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it fun? Do you ever kind of just feel like, you know, I got scuba certified a while ago, and I remember going through scuba lessons, and the scuba instructor was talking to us about that snorkeling is like you are watching a movie. Scuba diving is like you're in the movie. And because you're, you know, you're really participating, you're really there in the moment, and you know, you're touching, feeling, squeezing everybody and everything. And, you know, that's kind of what the image that came up for me when you were just sharing about the fact that we can bring all of these people together, all of these lives, stories, but it is up to them and up to God for that connection, that we can let go of that responsibility, that it's not up to us to manage that. And wow, that's a great takeaway from the first half of our call here to say, you know, all of this is very, very good, but ultimately we're all responsible for our own journey, and who and how we connect with others is up to us, no matter what part of our story has either been impacted by some sort of trauma, grief, loss, or a very victorious moment.
Exactly. And that it's just it's a way to, from how he's shown me, it's just a way to step back and only offer love, because I'm not seeking any one individual to give me that. I get it all from him. So knowing that, I'm not putting a burden on somebody that isn't necessary for them to have, or is it even just for them to have that responsibility. I get it from God. And so my door is just always open to anybody. All I have to offer them is love. That's it.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And, you know, that's really a unique perspective, and just so grateful that the Lord has just given you that and filled you with that. It's just beautiful. And what a wonderful example, and not something that we often see in the adoption community, nor in a transracial adoption situation, right? So for the young men and women in a transracial adoptive situation, what advice do you have for them?
It's hard for me to give advice. It's hard for me to speak for somebody else. I speak for myself when I say, seek God. And that's it. I don't know any other words. Anything else would be my own words. It's just seek him, and he'll give you everything you need in your life journey. And he's been doing it for me. And I know he'll do it for anybody else who seeks him.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's that relentless pursuit of him and his plan. I really love that, because we can't speak to others' experiences. But we know the one who is always stable is right there waiting to fill us up, right? And so we can. That's the first place that we can go, no matter what. And so thank you for that. I really appreciate your honesty and candidness and boldness with that. It's super important and super great. So I just want to take, grab yourself a drink of water, Chris. You've just done such a beautiful job of sharing. We are going to take a quick break here, and I just want to invite you all to Life Coach Radio Network. We have over 40 coaches here on Life Coach Radio Network who come to you each and every day on three different networks, actually, bringing you shows to inspire, encourage, challenge, educate you, entertain you. And I just welcome you to find out more about our programming. You can find out more on the website at Blum Talk Radio. You can find out more on the website at
the Life Coach Radio Networks, as well as on my personal website, thewalkyourtalkcoach.com. There is a continual feed of the shows that are coming up here on Life Coach Radio Network, as well as an archive of all the shows that I have had the privilege of hosting and bringing some amazing guests on my radio program, Walk Your Talk with Leanne. And so I just really encourage you to reach out in some way, because there's somebody that you're going to resonate deeply with. And if it's me, I would love to connect with you. So please feel free to private email me as well. And so, Chris, welcome back to our wonderful discussion about your film, You Have His Eyes. And in this next few minutes, I'd love it if you would speak to the title of your film. Tell us more about that and a little bit more about your biological father and that searching journey.
Sure. The title of the film came about during the making of it. Essentially what happened was we needed to, from a filmmaker's, because it was funny to vacillate back and forth, because obviously this is my journey, but at the same time I was making a film and we wanted to engage an audience. So we decided to center this whole adoption journey around the search for my biological father, who we knew absolutely nothing about except for the fact that he set a national record for the country of Jamaica, which still stands today. He was one of the fastest runners in the country in the 80s. Headed all the way over to America to perform in the Olympics, and then he got injured. That's all we knew. And his story, his paper trail, vanished from there. So once we started searching for people that knew him and that had engaged with him, as soon as they saw me, every single person, everybody, the reaction that they had was, oh my God, you have his eyes. You and him have the same eyes. You look the same, but you have his eyes. The way that you look, the color of them, everything about it, you have his eyes. And so that just kept sticking with me, everybody saying it. And so eventually, you know, talking with my editor and with everybody involved in the project, I just said, this is the title, and that we're sticking with it, you have his eyes. And at first they're like, okay, well, I don't see how that fully makes correlation there. And then as soon as they saw him, and as soon as it all makes sense, and just seeing how the movie flows, and it's just something as simple as saying you have his eyes, but that just means everything. There's so much to that, that connection of a biological parent. As far as his journey goes, like I said, he was Jamaica's number one runner. He set all these records for the country. He won all these different events. His image was the opening of the news stations, like the local news stations in Jamaica, would be a shot of him running into the sunset. So he was just, the family name was very popular. He was a very popular person on the island. And then he came to America to run. And eventually, what happened was, through some life circumstances, he started to change direction, got involved in kind of the wrong crowd, so to speak, and he ended up, you know, meeting my birth mother. She got pregnant. He met another woman who got married, had two kids with him, and life really took a turn for him in one of what you could say is a negative way, and so eventually he just disappeared. Nobody knew what happened to him. And he really just vanished. And nobody knew what happened to him for over 20 years. And so then we started looking. And that's like really was the mystery of the film, was trying to find this man who just kind of disappeared from the face of the earth to everybody that was close to him. So it was quite an undertaking in faith to know that, you know, we would find him, because for 2 years, every single person we came in contact with was, he's dead, stop looking, you're wasting your time, you're wasting your money. You know, when we saw him last, he just didn't seem going to be around much longer. That was kind of the words that we were getting. And most people just assumed he was dead.
Wow, what was that like for you to keep hearing that over and over again and knowing that he had disappeared for 20 years?
I didn't listen to it. When I started this project, I knew what the Lord was telling me, is that you're going to find him. Don't worry about it. And so it was almost like a testing that he was putting me through as part of my journey, to listen to him and not listen to anybody else. And so, yes, everyone was saying, he's dead, he's dead, he's dead. But I was hearing differently from the one. I don't want to give away too much for the people who haven't
seen
it.
Yeah, no spoilers.
Yeah. But yeah, so that it was just a confirmation that, like I had said, it's you got, and you'll get everything you need.
Well, you know, I really hear in what you're sharing, you know, when you talked about being the CEO of 7-Zone, or 7-1, right? And about
7-1.
How it's living, 7-1, living or live life 7 days a week, one day at a time. It sounds like you really walked that talk, you applied that principle while you were making this film. So what was the most challenging moment during that period of time with all of that news? Obviously, it wasn't listening to the voice of God. That was not challenging for you. So what was it?
I would say it's hard to say what was challenging because, in retrospect, it doesn't feel like there was a single challenge. I would honestly say that just keeping people that were around me on task, even though it wasn't even my job to do that, you know, but you know, it's hard for somebody who doesn't see your vision or what God's doing in your life, and yet they're still there with you every day. I'll give you an example. It was my editor, you know, Stephen Witte. It's just, I'm so grateful that I have him in my life. And he was an integral part of this film. This is a wonder child. I'd love to share his story. But he was somebody who got put in my life, and throughout this whole process, you know, he's hearing everyone say, this man's dead, you're not going to find him. And so he's thinking, we don't have a film here. We don't have an ending. We don't have anything. We're going to be looking for this guy forever. It's already been almost 2 years, you know. And yet he totally was calm and, you know, just able to move forward. But just the challenge of trusting that he would stay with me and quiet those voices in my head, things aren't going to work out, was probably a bit of a challenge, if you could call it that. But I really can't say enough that it's been, there's obviously hard times in life, but in retrospect, it's been a smooth ride, very smooth ride.
Fantastic. And so you really worked hard, it sounds like, to build a power team around you. Everybody from family to friends to mentors, you know, producers, editors, all of that. And I can imagine that that was a pretty powerful experience, knowing that you had this team that was backing you up, because not only were you making a film, but your life was unfolding. Portions of your life were unfolding every day, and mysteries were being exposed every day, and new relationships being built. You know, your life didn't stop going, right? Just because you were making this film, this was real. These weren't actors in your film. This is all real folks, real emotions, real family. And so I just kudos to you for getting the team around you to provide the love and support that you needed to complete your project.
Thank you. But, you know, just to give you an example of that, you know, about putting that team together, I mean, when we were going to Jamaica, for example, we were, you know, we had contacted members of the family. We had reached this point in our journey, relatives of Lionel Scott, and there was a possibility that he could be found over there. So, you know, I was talking to one of the cousins, and I just said, listen, you know, I want to go and search for him there, but I just want you to know I'm making a little film about this, and you know, I'm going to bring a cameraman, I'm going to bring my cameras, are you okay with that? And they smiled at me and said, you know, Chris, we own the largest production company in Jamaica. So just bring yourself. We have everything you need. So if you want to say it's me, that was just God. I didn't plan that. We ended up going to Jamaica. We had cars with camera equipment. We had every single camera we could possibly need it. We even got aerial shots of the island, which we didn't end up using in the film. But just to give you the perspective that I couldn't have planned that. It just happened. And so, you know, that was literally just taking it one day at a time and trusting that the doors would open for us. And they did in this project.
That's amazing. You know, there's another quote. I just, you know, every time you share a little bit more about your story, my jaw drops just on the hand of God over your life and allowing you to make this film and really looking at his design, right, for you. And I think about the passage of scripture just talks about that our body is God's instrument. You know, we are here to sing his praises, to bring him glory. And just even the rocks would cry out, right, if creation wasn't so incredibly beautiful and the institute of family wasn't so important to him, that even the rocks would sing about it. And in your story, you just see a divine blessing over the whole thing, even down to that. That's pretty incredible. So what a neat confirmation for you on the journey, and I'm sure your team as well, that kind of really helped spur you all on.
Absolutely. It really was. Yeah, it really was. Yeah.
Very cool. So I'm real curious. So now it's been 3 years. You've had showings. You've won film awards. You've built relationships. All these beautiful things that have happened since that experience. I'm real curious, what's next for you?
You know, that's tough to say. I have plans. I give my plans to God, and you know, sometimes he'll laugh at our plans. So it's hard to say. I do live my life day by day. I have ambitions to make another film. We'd love to make a feature. I'm writing a script. As far as this film's concerned, we have the film sitting with some networks. We'd love to get it on a broadcast deal. We're in talks to do a theatrical run with the film, which we're very excited about. So there are a lot of things in the works. We have big plans that are moving forward kind of rapidly with our 7-1 venture. So there's a lot of things on my plate. But to give you a definitive plan would be something that would limit me. And I'm not in full assurance of what my day-to-day is and God's will, but I'd like to be in it every day. So that's really my plan, is just to follow whatever he asked me to do in the upcoming future.
Great answer. I love that. You know, the coach in me is standing here going, yeah, buddy, trust the process. My friend Chris, he's got it going on, because we never know what's right around the next corner, right? The opportunities, what God's going to call us to, the people he's going to allow us to touch and to meet. And, you know, we don't want to put ourselves in a box or God in a box in any way. And so I'm real excited. But so in light of this film and helping to support you, how can we, as this listening audience and fans of you in this film, help you get the word out? What can we do?
You know, for those that do, I would say I would love and welcome your prayers. That's the strongest tool that we have. And if it touches you to share the film, or if there's an update for a screening in an area, or you think that there's an organization based on any of these topics that the film touches, adoption, mental health, spirituality, domestic abuse, drug abuse, all these things, identity. If anything touches you in those aspects, then invite us or contact me for the potential to screen the film. But the strongest thing, I think, for support that I would welcome is a prayer. And I humbly thank you for that.
Oh, I am committing to keep you on my prayer list. And so if we want to, is the film available for purchase, Chris, or is it still in the screening mode where we go through you?
We're still screening. And that's something that we're in the process of a broadcast deal. That's what we're reaching out for. That's our goal. And like I said, a theatrical run. So we aren't selling the film independently. We kind of want to give it to the masses in one of those platforms. That could always change, like I said, but I'm pretty sure that that's how it's going to end up for us in the near future. So as of now, just be on the lookout. You can check our website, youhaveisdies.com, and see when upcoming screenings are occurring, if they're going to be in your city or in your area. And then obviously you can always contact us through contact@ctwproductions.com or eyes@ctwproductions.com get a screening going in your city or your town or wherever you're from. We're always open.
Wonderful. And I'll be posting that on my website as well as on social media. If you didn't have a pencil there, listeners, to be able to follow Chris and his work and support this film. And are you taking financial donations towards your cause of getting this to the masses?
We are. As you know, I mean, when you're an independent filmmaker, everything is you're investing all of your resources. And then we have done that. We're gracious. God's given us everything we needed to get to this point. But it's been also a sacrifice. Everything we have gotten has gone to this film. So any support is more than welcome and much appreciated and needed, absolutely. And there is a place to do that on our website at youhaveisdies.com. There's a place that you can donate whatever you feel led to do. And we welcome that and very, very appreciative. Absolutely.
Okay, great. Well, wow, my friend Chris, we are at the top of the hour. We do have a couple of calls. I'm not sure if they want to be brought into the queue. So let me just do a double check here, and I will see. Let's see what happens here. Oh, it's not letting me bring them in. Oh, there we go. 954, you are on live with Leanne and Chris. Did you have a question or a thought that you wanted to share today? All right, in listen-only mode, perfect. All right, I just wanted to do a double check there just to make sure. So I don't like to miss anybody who wants to ask a question. And so, Chris, in closing, here we are. We have had this amazing conversation about adoption, about family, about filmmaking. And I'm just so privileged that you have generously given up an hour of your afternoon in a very busy life to share with me today. What closing thoughts or comments do you have for our listening audience? Because we're international, so share with us.
Well, you know, honestly, my thought is thank you. I'm really grateful that you invited me here to talk with you and to share this experience and share the journey. I did it because you asked me, honestly. So I'm very grateful for who you are and what you're doing. I'm going to, you know, beat a horse with a drum here, but it's God for me. I don't know what else to say. It's the best advice I can give. If I can be in any way a testimony to the work he does in people's lives, then that really means a lot to me.
Love it. You know, you're walking your talk, Chris, and it's real obvious what your talk and your passion and your walk is all about. Thank you for living authentically here today on Walk Your Talk with Leanne. Listeners, thank you very much for the privilege of being able to introduce you to my friend, Christopher Wilson. Please go on to his website, find out more about this film, how you can support it, where you can view it. The film is You Have His Eyes. And you can find more about it at youhavehiseyes.com. You can also find out more about me, the coaching work that I do serving the adoption community and beyond. I walk with those who are trying to navigate the complexities of their adoption journeys. And I'd love to connect with you and let you know more about the work that I do and the passion that I have
to build strong and healthy families. So you can reach out to me at thewalkyourtalkcoach.com. Also, please, please sign up on my website to receive a newsletter. There's all kinds of different giveaways and opportunities via my website for some amazing coaching programs. And I encourage you to find out more about the work that I do. And please join me the first and third Thursday of every month here on Life Coach Radio Network. And if there are folks out in this beautiful world that you see and know that are walking their talk, and I have not met them yet and we have not connected, please have them reach out to me or make a connection. I would love to get to know them. This is Leanne Parsons, the Walk Your Talk Coach at Legacy Now Lived, and I encourage you, and I extend many blessings and prayers to you to outlive your life every day. God bless and be well.